Hi, so today we're going deep on a short narrative, and it's a little piece of a larger story, but it's really fascinating. And it comes from this PDF we've been looking at. It's basically this like look at life in a mountain village, and it's all centered around this guy named Zhang Daishan and his family.
And you get this image right away of like these really sturdy stone houses that have been like passed down through generations, and they're farmers, they work so hard. But the story makes it clear right away that they're really struggling financially.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're here for, right? Like to get past all these like high level discussions about poverty alleviation and actually see what it means for someone like Zhang Daishan. Like how does it actually play out?
Exactly. It's so easy to lose sight of those like individual human stories when we're talking about like national goals and these huge programs. And this narrative gives us that, like that personal perspective.
Okay, so the story starts with Zhang Daishan getting a visit from the village party secretary and a statistician, and they're there to do a survey of his household income. And what's interesting right away is Daishan mentions that they had actually just done a similar survey like not too long ago.
So why are they back?
Exactly, why come back? And it turns out the income that they reported the first time around was too low. It didn't meet the official poverty eradication standard. And this is where you really start to see the pressure coming from higher up. The secretary specifically mentions that leaders have signed responsibility statements. So you can kind of feel that weight, right? Like that top-down mandate and the pressure it puts on these local officials to deliver. The target they're aiming for is an average annual income of 1,500 yuan per person, which, to give you an idea, that's equivalent to maybe like a couple hundred US dollars.
So that figure of 1500 yuan per person becomes like the central metric in this whole situation, like the line they're trying to cross.
Right. So how does Daishan react to all this like number crunching? Not well. He's just like flat out, we don't have that much money. But he does agree to go through the survey process again.
So he's like going along with it, but he's skeptical.
Yeah, exactly. And what follows is this like incredibly detailed inventory of all of Daishan's possessions. I mean, the statistician is thorough, like noting down everything, the firewood he's collected, the flour and oil in his kitchen, even the dates that are still on the trees and the eggs in the chicken coop.
So they're trying to quantify like every single thing.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to put a monetary value on every aspect of their lives, even things that haven't been harvested yet or like basic necessities.
Well, that's interesting.
And then they get to the piglet. There's this young pig in the sty, and the party secretary sees it, and he's immediately like, oh, that'll be worth 500 yuan by the end of the year. Daishan's like, whoa, hold on. It's less than 2 months old. It's not worth anything close to that right now.
Yeah, there's a real disconnect there, right?
Huge disconnect. Like the official is projecting this future value, this potential income, but it's not real yet.
The best case scenario.
Exactly. And even with this like optimistic pig valuation, they're still short of that 1500 yuan goal per person. With the pig, they're up to 5000 yuan total for the family. There's four of them, so that's 1250 yuan per person.
So still not quite there. Which means they need to find even more income to add in.
Exactly. And that leads the secretary to start prompting Daishan.
Oh, really?
He's like, have you picked up anything valuable? Caught any wild game? Like they're really searching for ways to bump up that income figure.
Like they're working backwards from the target,
Totally.
trying to make the numbers fit instead of looking at what they actually have.
And wouldn't you know, Daishan remembers that he caught a wild rabbit back in the spring. And he's like, well, yeah, we ate it over a couple meals, but I still have the skin at home. And the secretary is like, see, you didn't report this important income. And he estimates that it's worth at least 50 yuan.
So something they literally ate to survive is now counted as income.
It's wild, right? And then it gets even more creative.
Oh no, what happens?
The secretary brings up this idea of Daishan catching an eagle during the summer.
An eagle.
Yeah, and Daishan is like, no, that's not income at all. But the secretary is justifying it by saying, well, think about what people in the city would pay. It could be worth 500 or 600 yuan.
Okay, but did he sell it?
Here's the thing. He actually released the eagle,
He let it go.
let it go. And the secretary's response is basically, you threw away money.
Oh my God.
And he insists on adding the value of this non-existent eagle sale, like 600 yuan, to Dacian's income.
So something that didn't even happen is now a major financial gain.
It's all about hitting that number.
Right.
It doesn't matter what actually happened.
Yeah.
And even with the pig and the rabbit and the eagle, they're still short about 300 yuan per person.
So how do they make up the difference?
This is where the poverty alleviation funds and goods come in.
Oh.
The statistician mentions the Spring Festival relief efforts, and the secretary remembers that they gave Dacian's family a quilt, a bag of flour, and like 200 yuan in cash.
So they're counting that as income too.
They're saying that aid covers the remaining deficit.
Wow.
It's like they're saying because you got this one-time help,
right,
you're good for the year.
But that doesn't really address the bigger issues, does it?
Nope. And so with all these additions, the future pig, the past rabbit, the non-existent eagle, and the aide, they're happy.
They got their number.
They got their number. They announced that Zhang Dacian's family has officially escaped poverty.
Officially escaped poverty.
And Dacian is just like, but I don't have much money in hand.
Yeah, that's the reality.
It is. The numbers don't match his actual situation.
And when the secretary says, few households in the village can compare to your family.
Yes. It's like, brutal.
Yeah, it just emphasizes how out of touch they are.
Totally. And then Dacian offers them lunch and they decline, which I think says a lot about how he sees their whole visit.
Yeah, like he knows it's all just for show.
Yeah. And then when they leave, Dacian has this internal monologue and he's thinking about how the officials are piecing together numbers for show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's worried that he's going to have to pay more taxes now based on this inflated income that he doesn't actually have.
Right.
And he has this thought. A well-fed man doesn't know the hunger of a starving one.
It's like they just don't get it.
Yeah. And he feels like his income has basically been fabricated out of thin air.
Right.
Yeah.
So it really makes you think about what poverty alleviation actually means.
Right.
Is it just about hitting a number or is it about actual improvement in people's lives?
Exactly. And I think the takeaway here for you listening is to think about that tension between the official statistics and what's actually happening for people like Zhang Dacian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does it actually mean to escape poverty in this context?
Yeah. And this story shows how much pressure there is to meet these poverty reduction targets and how it can lead to some really strange ways of calculating income.
Right, like counting a pig that hasn't grown up yet or an eagle that was never sold or aid that was just a one-time thing.
It highlights this risk.
Yeah.
That we might be focusing too much on the numbers.
Yeah.
And not enough on actually making people's lives better.
Absolutely. And makes you wonder what the long-term consequences of that might be.
Right. Are we creating a system that just makes it look like poverty is going down,
mm-hmm.
but isn't really addressing the root causes?
Right. And so our final thought for you to consider is, are there other ways to measure poverty that might be more accurate and more effective in the long run?
That's a great question.
Something to really think about.